Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You know what? So we here, right? And I you know, we just gonna have a conversation now. This ain't an interview no more. Cause you saying stuff that I just want to like stay. I want to stay here right now. Mm-hmm. Collectives. I see so many universities. The university I cover, we have a collective as well. What's a, like, to the fans, what's a collective? Because some folks just say, oh, a collective is just a way for donors to channel money, and then it goes right to the players' pockets. You have some collectives that want to help student athletes create their own LLCs, and as you stated, but in your opinion, what's the true reason these collectives are coming out the woodworks?
Because it's control. Everything's control. So you go with the term collective, NIL, it's just like the acronym NCAA. It's a good cop, bad cop. It's just like when you was going through the recruiting process and the coach had promised you everything in recruiting. And then once you get to the school, they say, oh, we wanted to do it, but the NCAA say no. No, they all in this together. Because of the players repping pre-post game, exposing this for what it was. Again, pre-post game, like I said before, did what we did without permission. And then you come out about the NIL. That's what I said before. Now you come out with the collectives. The reality is, if you, Ahmad, Petty Hawk, Ball Hawk Show right now, had something to provide a value and you basically wanted to deliver that, and I'm the one going to compensate you, do you need a czar to give the money to czar to give it to you? Is that what you want me to do?
Nope.
Do you want me to give the money to czar and then czar can give it to you and then czar can say, basically, I gave it to Ahmad and Ahmad is now my business expense and a tax deduction? Or does Ahmad say, I want to own my LLC company. I want to create my stuff. I want to basically get my business expenses. I want to protect my IP. I want to grow in that business. I want to establish that relationship with Robert without the middleman, czar. And for your audience who needed it even simpler, like czar, pimp to the prostitute. Sports is a game where you're going to play and you're going to do things a certain way until you can't do it anymore. Once you can't do it anymore, Kishi is showing us people will release you, get rid of you, go your way at the highest level, high school level, college level. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you basically now allow someone to be the in-between you and someone else, so you don't really establish a relationship, not only diminish your ability to grow yourself, but also minimize your margins. Again, monopoly. Collectors buy up Boardwalk and Park Place. But they also got the other corner wrapped. You come around there, before you get there, 10,000 of you guys is in that collective. They pick and choose now who they deal with. The collective now is the one that really has to deal with Boardwalk and Park Place. You are no longer valuable to them. You're just a little house that can be wiped out. And so the reality is how they do these things, essentially saying that we're going to come and we're going to do this and do that for you. They have done nothing that I mentioned earlier that pre-post game has done. And the pre-post game is not saying collectives who started all this, who creates personal, professional, business, and athletic development and ownership. And we're not, and we're providing all this value to you, and we're not saying, hey, we're going to basically get in between you and your money. We are a service provider. Our service, our statement, or our SOW is tangible. It can be seen. It's a price tag. That's the whole point. So the NCAA can't say, yo, you can't work with Robert. There's no one that can say they can't work with me in pre-post game at Robert. Because like any other American citizen as a small business owner, I'm providing tangible, valuable services, whether it's brand development, contract negotiation, review, hiring certain people and things that we do. And again, the reason why I can't even block my website a lot of times right now, because there's a lot of university, quote unquote, collective representative, Luke Fellum being one, yeah, naming names, at The Ohio State University, been copying and pasting my website for 7 years. You are not me. You are not us. 99% of people in this space are not player advocates. They are player capturers. And when I mean capture, that's what they're trying to do. These people are trying to capture these athletes and put them back in the bottle. As I said before, because of technology, understanding AI, things of that nature, and when they talk about DRM, digital rights management, there's a strong, strong, strong push right now. You know, Saudi Arabia, talking about IMG Academy, all those guys played, decided to pay $2.3 billion for IMG Academy so they can have tournaments left and right where everybody comes and gives their IP, their email address, third party to be sold. There's all these private equity firms now all of a sudden buying up youth organizations. Don't know the first thing about any sport, much less when you got Dexter Gervin signing over, what did he sign over, 25% of future earnings for $490,000? Because the people that represented him thought he was going to be a first-round pick. Again, college-educated. But you don't see all these powers to be, these pundits, the same ones that you know and love, Pivot, I Am Athlete, Shannon Sharp, Stephen A. Smith, or they don't talk about none of that. One, they ain't capable of it. Two, they're not qualified. Three, it's just they part of that system. We want to do comedy rap beefs. It's beneath me and it's beneath them. And I mean say them, I mean the actual up-and-coming future generation of athletes, entrepreneurs. And at the end of the day, if they don't understand that sooner than later, that indentured servitude I talked about, again, people are going to be crying, complaining. You have these lawyers that pop up out of nowhere, these hashtag chasers. That's what they are. Like I said before, your audience should know as well. I'm the one representing the athletes for the University of Iowa for public relations and media relations. Before I did that, there was no lawyers, white lawyers, black lawyers coming to our defense to try to help us with those athletes. It took me 4 months to do what I needed to do. The worldwide leader did not want to give the same platform to me as my clients as they gave to Kirk Ferentz. By the way, 3-1 to go. When I say 3-1, I mean Chris Doyle was the highest paid strength coach in college football. Nowhere to be found. His son, Brian Flores, who couldn't score more than 10 points a game, it seemed like, in the last 5 years, nowhere to be found. Gary Barter, who was the commissioner of the college football committee, gone. Nowhere to be found. Kirk, next. And the reality is, as I said before, I didn't come on here to pretend like I'm not solely responsible for all this. But after those 4 months and I did what I did, the way we did it, now everybody want to pop up and say, oh, yeah, now here we got the settlement of $490 million for Richard Anderson in Michigan. Oh, we got the $500 million settlement the $500 million settlement for Simone Biles and the rest of the gymnasts under Dr. Larry Nassar. Where are these same public figures, these same people that got these platforms speaking on that? Mind you, as I said before, none of that happened to the players that got the $4.2 million historic settlement for the players at the University of Iowa. And therefore, again, still we mentioned in the beginning, not knowing my name. How? Their statement worked on matchup with mine. So when I talk about being a true advocate, true representative of athletes, the only person that should be in Congress speaking on these things how I need to go is me. There's no one on that floor and a Ted Cruz roundtable, including Darren Heitner, who was begging us and me specifically when we did Rashawn Gary's IP. But yet somehow Darren Heitner is out there telling everybody he's representing athletes. How do you tweet 60,000 times in your lifetime and then say you represent athletes? It's not possible. I know I represent athletes. But at the same time, me watching this stuff day in and day out, people just assuming we so unintelligible in all that we do. Because our leaders are like Shannon Sharp, who want to talk about that something happened 50 years ago with Monique or Cat Williams, like, I care. I'm reviewing documents. Or Coach Passes Prime, talking about business is business, but then turning around talking to my kids, are we coming and we going? Like I told them, you need to worry about understanding situational football. Don't worry about these kids' pockets, what they're getting paid, because you want to be Nick Saban Jr. The fact of the matter is, you had the worst offensive line in college football, giving the most sacks and the most penalties. You know what that means about penalties? That means you lack discipline. But you lack discipline since you was a kid. But yet the media and the world put you out front to be a leader about whose terms and whose design. But see, that's the thing. I told everybody this before you got to the HBCU. Your qualifications was what? Coaching youth football with a chain, with a hood on and sunglasses on inside? Come on, man. These are serious times we're in right now. Serious times. And I ain't in no position to play around when it comes to these things, when it comes to these youth, as I happen to be one back in the day, that I had nowhere to turn. But like I told you when I started this interview, I did everything I said I was going to do the way I said I was going to do it. And I needed to go about setting the record straight for those. When I'm no longer here, the players rep, as I said, live in the cloud. Pre-post game, may be in the room, may not. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. But the players rep is always in the cloud. So for all you out there that's claiming to be somebody you're not, you should be very careful because it's not about sports. This is business. I can show you my LinkedIn right now. It ain't sports people looking at my LinkedIn. It's people that write code. It's people that understand AI. It's understanding that people that are based on financial planning and fintech. So when I talk about financial literacy based off, there's nobody in this country outside of what pre-post game do that says, hey, Ahmad, did somebody go and you're collecting talking about, hey, how you athletes going to do when y'all retire? When most of y'all play a sport, it might be done when you're 22 or 23. Meanwhile, we got kids in college playing football today, 29 years old and 90 year eligibility. Make it make sense. Which is it? In a country where everybody's talking about illegal immigration and borders and work and taxes, how is a large block, black and white, male and female, sitting there trying to stop 17 to 25-year-olds who have the ability to generate all types of revenue to develop from them earning as employees and small business owners and to pay their fair share of taxes? How? You tell it on yourself. You're fraudulent. Because when them same kids don't become employees and they 23, 24, those same people telling you, hey, we want you to collectively bargain in NIL, you're not going to be there to get them a job. They can't conduct the interview process. They can't have a conversation outside of the game they once played. And then who's responsible now? What your youth coach going to be doing? Your AAU coach going to be doing? Your mom and your daddy going to be doing? I know what you're going to be doing. You're going to keep your mouth shut because I've seen it 1,000 times over because you want to remain on the sideline for the upcoming bowl game or the conference championship. You want to get on the sideline because you ever speak up really happened to you, you won't be able to get that T-shirt. As I said before, man, this game is a vicious game. We traded in picking cotton for wearing it because it said champion on it. Mm. Not a life.
Yeah, man. I mean, you drop a lot of jewels and, you know, we stay on this NIL topic because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out here in the world because everybody keeps saying that the NIL is ruining the game that they fell in love with. They can't watch the college game anymore because they feel like players are looking for handouts. They're not working for anything. Why would you get money based off what you did? I had a conversation with somebody who was irritated that college athletes are getting NILs before they play college football. And I said, well, don't college athletes get endorsements before they get to the NFL? Like when they go into the draft, they get endorsements. They're like, well, they earned it based off what they did in college. And I'm like, but they never played professional and they're getting paid as a professional from the endorsement. What's essentially the difference? And I think a lot of people, and you talked about, you just said it, like they basically going off what they've been taught, the status quo. They don't want to step outside the box because it's like a comfort zone for them. You know, and this NIL, is even how you just, you know, talked about the collector. Because my main thing is, like, I can hear a listener now, right? Hearing what you said about collector, their response would be, well, what do you do as a business? Like, do you charge? Do you take a percentage or do you charge a flat rate? So if that question was brought up to Robert T. Green,
great question.
Between your business and a collective for a college athlete.
So, one, the work that we do at pre-post game, no one does. It's not an agency in America. The biggest ones in the world can do what we do. And I'm going to preface this when I talk about what's happened. And you can say what we did here, pre-post game was now NIL, reflects directly to the auto workers union as well as to the SAG-AFTRA groups. So when at the end of the day, when you talk about Terrence Howard, talk about what money he didn't get paid for certain movies based off the leverage he didn't have because of what was negotiated on his behalf or where everybody's underneath that umbrella, it's the same premise. Those are collective. So let's take that from that standpoint from there. Terrence Howard, all money's not good money. Athlete A, all money's not good money. So where'd that money come from? Where's that money going in to hold me over, to keep me under umbrella? Is that money there to help develop me to be where I'm at? So pre-post game, and our pay point, our values. So if you needed an actual a consultation for something, that has a value to it. That's transactional. If you have a ability, you want to build a brand or create some type of content or put some type of messaging out, PR, that's a billable actual a service. If you basically say, oh, in a marketing scenario, we negotiate a contract and look at certain things and hit the terms, that's a negotiated contract. So no, we don't do percentage. You know why we don't do percentages? Because the percentage, basically, the way that was set up is like when people don't really understand what you're getting in that value. And like I said before, unfortunately, most people, if I said something worth $150,000, it costs that. But yet, if you said 2%, you feel like that's better. But then you don't understand 2% of, say, $150 million is way more than $150,000. But people just don't want to hear the truth about what business really is. So you can't really do a SWOT analysis, which is, again, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of your client, specifically, which we do, person-centered, unless you know all the variables that they got going into their situation. We do. So we can pinpoint that, and we can charge to that, we can invoice to that. And at the end of the day, two things happen in this country when someone like myself speaks out the way I do. I either get sued, or the media clowns me publicly and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Do it. You know, just like when Rashawn came out, they said, oh, what is Darren Ravel? I don't think that was a smart move. 2 million viewers. You don't think coming out, going to college, to school, understanding what you want to do for a living, and putting yourself in a situation financially to represent yourself and your family for the future is good business, Darren Ravel? And your 2 million followers that know you for basically highlighting speaking on gambling. Like I said, me explaining myself and answering to people who never walked two steps in my shoes based off their social platforms or their followers or their bank account is funny to me. That's why I said before, at the end of the day, what we do and how we do it isn't about what anybody else say, what anybody else do. They can't do what we do. They haven't done what we've done. That's why they make it up as they go along. And that's the sad part, as I said before, uninformed, uneducated, underrepresented athletes. But once again, what are athletes? Human beings. If there's a state law in Virginia, a state law in Texas, and if I, Mark Zuckerberg, can start Facebook in my dorm, and I can get paid for that, and if I swing a bat, I should get paid for it too, if it's generating revenue. So I could care less. And as you know me personally, but let me tell you all, I could care less who watches this, who finds out what your thought processes are, how these people who happen to be employed, just like your employee audience, because you don't go to your coworker and ask them, should I take this raise based on the work that I put in to feed my family?
Mm-hmm.
Or should they have to basically explain themselves to you or anybody else, despite the fact? And what's really telling is, like I said before, as all this going along, you haven't heard one sports agent come out and say nothing about NIL. You know why? Because they've been doing stuff where they've been doing it behind the scenes through the sports trafficking since the beginning of the time. Ain't nothing changing their business model either.
Nope.
They still getting funneled to them directly, and then they still signing these fraudulent contracts that Ian Rappaport makes sound a certain way this year. Then next year, oh, you got released. You don't say it as loud. But the players rep do. Who told you to sign a $90 million Zeke Elliott contract? Is that guy still certified by the NFL and NFLPA? Who told you to sign with that financial advisor? Because you saw his name and his picture hugging a coach on his Instagram. Is that how you go about hiring people? Because he hung out with another friend? How do you go about basically talking about what this guy did and what type of money or assets he managed? Because you saw him at the Pro Bowl? All this stuff is simple-minded, low-level situations that people that are generating and making a whole lot of money are operating. And it's sickening. But the sad part about it is the powers that be, the most part, the great LeBron James don't know how the NCAA work. Just the facts, not the process.
No, he don't. He didn't go to college.
Yeah, and that's the point. So when you have platforms, you speak on certain things. Mind you, I do know.
Yes.
Why is it that my platform, although you may not see a lot of followers, trust and believe, the industry know exactly who I am. I spoke directly to them about every situation you see here that we would not be a part of, like giving away Rashawn Gary's IP that we protected. So no influencer, I don't care your relationship, partnership with the NFL, anybody else. We're not going to give up pictures that you're going to sell of him that we can get our own cameraman and then basically pay and get those things done ourselves. So you can run them through Getty Images. Now we good on that. We understand photography. We know what that looks like. We're not a copyright and patent trademark because we started it.
Yeah. So when you talk about trademark and patent, go back to Rashawn coming out of Michigan. He goes to the NFL draft, and what is he wearing?
This pen right here, this logo right here, the first logo ever trademarked in NCAA history, in front of, at his own event with 100 million people watching. I'm talking about marketing strategy.
And he also went, not to cut you off, I said draft, I mean even the combine, correct, right? When he was up there at the podium, he had
all
his...
All that stuff is still online right now. You can Google Rashawn Gary draft, the intellectual property's there, it ain't going nowhere. And at the end of the day, you will know who Rashawn is outside of the game, because at the end of the day, he built his own. As I said, what pre-post game is ownership and professional development. No more, no less. What comes along with that, we can, we have done, second to none. But at the end of the day, to say that you are an advocate for an athlete, you represent an athlete, you got the best interest in an athlete. I could run down 5 or 6 agents and agencies right now where you got all types of problems. So why I said it before, as a player's rep, let's just be clear. Antonio Brown, not a good person. Why I know that's your boy? Because his daddy wasn't a good person. I carried Eddie Brown's ass to the bar around Albany a few nights. What you think is about to happen? Like I said, as a minority, as an African-American, as a professional, I'm going to stand on what's real about what's what. I'm not wearing no hat that got things falling out left and right to get attention about what I'm saying. Because his daddy was selling him like hotcakes when he was 10 years old too. So him arguing with 17-year-olds, him being 40 almost, don't shock me whatsoever. You are who you surround yourself with. And the bottom line is, because you have some type of platform, some type of following, don't mean...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You that dude. It don't mean you that dude. Because like I said before, when it's all said and done, you're going to want Robert T. Green on your side when it comes down to something. If you ain't do it right, trust me. Ask the kids from Iowa.
Yeah, let's stay there. How did the Iowa situation come about? Like when they reached out, like so one of the kids reached out to you?
No, it's how it always goes as the player's rep. Because once again, everybody claimed to be somebody that they're not. But the only one person that's actually done things in this space to say they really advocate, represent these guys is me. There's been so many athletes across the board, young, old, Power 5 schools, Division 1, Division 2. Can you help me, Robert? Can you help me? I've spoken to lawyers, quote-unquote colleagues, throughout the years. Never touch it. Never touch it. But they're lawyers. And so what I try to explain to athletes, man, your best bet is to stay out of trouble. Because the bottom line, the lawyer is not there to stop you from betting to pay that retainer for them. They there to wait for you to screw up Deshaun Watson and collect. And the reality is, since nobody in your circle who represents you didn't tell you, it's not in your best interest to run around and massage parlors, this, and that. It don't matter what you did or you didn't do. It's just common sense. And as a professional, know where you want to go to understand your role and responsibility in society. And people want to dance around and not talk about it. They want to act like they go the other way. But they didn't want to talk about something that makes no sense. I don't care about your record sales. I don't care if your album dropped or flopped. I don't care what you're wearing, who your wife is. I don't care. I don't care what's in your closet, how many sneakers you got. I know this. This is what I care about. Michael Jordan's worth $2 billion. Nike's worth $200 billion. Let's talk about IP and intellectual property, how that happened. Let's talk about how LeBron James IP. Let's talk about Kyrie IP. Let's talk about Kevin Durant's IP. Let's talk about all these guys. Osaka. Let's talk about Rafael Nadal's IP. Belong to Nike. You know who don't? Guess.
Rashawn?
Just the facts, not the process.
Oh, so LeBron don't own it? I thought for some reason some...
Go to logos and United States Patent Trademark Office, and you will find that LJ, and it says owner, nice and clear. Right there. But see, once again, even creating logos and owning logos, because when it comes to the IP and the trademark office, you can't just create a logo and put it out there, because it's got to go through a process. I understand that process. We teach that process. We build for that process. And then we create IP and intellectual property to understand and meet the need of our clients. Those things matter. When Michael Jordan is no longer here, talking about residuals, when you go to see that Jordan logo, it says own Nike. we can say all day long what he got. But let's talk about business and margins. So we talk about collectives. That's essentially what a collective looks like. You get two, we get 200 because we got everybody. Even though you're the only reason why they somebody. See, in my model, why you don't know me? Because it's about them. But you gonna know me on the way out, though.
I like that, though. You don't gotta know me. You know them.
Yeah,
you should know me.
You should know me because what you see. Exactly. As I said before, we may be and may not be in the room, but we always in the cloud.
I mean, maybe like how it was initially when he was active, but I know everybody know him now. But like Al Heyman in boxing, like nobody knew of Al Heyman until Floyd started really saying him. Nobody even knew what he looked like. But then he became more prevalent, but he still never did interviews. But it was out there that he was doing great business for these boxers, and then they created PBC. But I like what you just said. You should know me. Why would you want to know me? It's about them. Because a lot of time with these collectives, a lot of fans just think essentially it's assembly line of money going directly to players. And it's far from that. Because you put out a tweet today that I wanted to discuss that really caught my eye. You say all these athletes in high school and in college want to go to the pros, but none of the pros are working with any of these NIL collectives for representation. We do. Why aren't pro athletes working with these collectives, in your opinion?
Oh, it's not an opinion, it's a fact.
Opinion. Now, I'm talking about like why do you feel like that? I'm not saying what you said was opinion.
Service value. That's why I said value propositions. When you're a collective, you basically saying that you got something for them. These guys that are pros, that's why I said NIL does not exist. If you're gonna tell me and no matter what state you say, and that's why I talked about the people from Open Doors that aren't qualified to be speaking on what Caitlin Clark should be doing, talking about what she can get from Iowa when she's losing but going WNBA. If Caitlin Clark is a business entity, is a professional, understands public speaking and contract negotiation, she can get paid anywhere. And why would she allow a collective to now diminish her value directly to the person that wants to work with her? As I said before, it makes zero sense.
Zero sense.
Zero sense. So the fact is that you come in Open Doors and say, hey, we're doing this for athletes. You've never done anything I've done for athletes. You shouldn't be advising the athlete. You shouldn't be saying anything whatsoever. So the same way we talk about these things is like, hey, they're not working with them, because the bottom line is the pro athletes are there. Why aren't these same deals and opportunities are there for the same guys? It's control. There's 1,400 guys in particular in the NFL. There's 400,000, 90,000 collegiate athletes, if you will. So is you saying that, okay, the collectors now want to help support 490,000 where they can't support 1,400 in the NFL that already have a public platform and figure? No, they're saying you don't know what you're doing, and we can take 490,000 people and spread our wealth, collect y'all like poker chips. We want to pay, shuffle the money around. That's why the IRS said, no, you guys can't be 501c3s. But see, back in the day, what boosters used to do, like I said before, a booster would come in and donate $1 million to the school. And then that same school would basically put that kid who's about to be a top draft pick right in front of the boosters to sign all type of memorabilia. The booster now got the deduction based off their contribution, then took the memorabilia and sold it for profit. Trust the facts, not the process. But again, been there, understand how it go. Don't like it, pay the players, no pay, no play. That's why I said, making them employees gives them human right protections, benefits, things that they have to learn and understand like any other God-fearing American taxpaying citizen. Mm-hmm. How in the world do you dare jump in and tell these people who happen to be athletes how they need to go about getting their money when you can't do that with anywhere else in any other state in this country? And then to turn around with a straight face and act like you're doing what's best for them. Well, as I said before, you wasn't here until 2021. When I started this thing with Iowa, you were nowhere to be found. Nowhere. You wasn't talking about none of this stuff when we did with Rashawn and the other players. Nowhere. But now you're here saying, We got this for you. And like I said, I don't want to make sure I don't miss anybody, because a lot of athletes are paid for play as well. I'm talking about professionals, mouthpieces, got platforms to pay to say and do certain things. Still ain't made no decision in your life. And you still 30 plus years old age. Your producers tell you what to do, tell you how to do it. They tell you what to say and how to say it. And the reality is you waste 3 hours of our day telling the world you don't shower or you go in certain colleges with your wife, like who cares? And then you want to make it seem like you're doing some power roundtable. As we talked about in the beginning, Ahmad, you and I, whether your audience liked it or not, we were doing quote unquote podcasts and blog talk radio when we talked to sports business before any of these people came about. Yeah. You were doing this. You were. I know why they did that. That's the counteract what I'm talking about. It's like hee-hee and gee-gee-ing. And just so you know, the stuff that I talk about now, it ain't like I kept it to myself. All the powers that be, all the mainstream people that's out there, before they was on SportsCenter 66, Jemele Hill, the Michael Wilbons, the Stephen A. Smith, I sent DMs to all of them. No response. I ain't worried about it. Like I said, I'm in the cloud. The job still got done. Don't need your mouthpiece. But you got now, today, a little shift. Everybody's a podcaster. Everybody's an influencer. Perfect example. You got guys that are failed financial advisors, start a podcast. Now I want to talk about financial literacy. Make that make sense.
Nobody going to take time to research them either.
At the end of the day, did they help negotiate a $100 million contract? At the end of the day, did they basically onboard anybody's company, and give them generational wealth to help them understand their IP, protect their next interest? Did anybody do that? What are we talking about? Earn your leisure? You talking about business? Talking about standing on business? What business?
I do like what you said earlier that I would like to really tap into somehow, like try to, because you know, the running joke last week was Kirk Cousins' agent should be in the Hall of Fame because the contracts that Kirk Cousins has gotten. But when you talk about a guy like Zeke or any other of these players that signed the bad contracts, it's like, how come we don't like document which agencies really be out here having these guys, for lack of a better term, sign these 360 deals like they were an artist, and they really don't get the money?
Ask you a question. Is it legal in America to be a monopoly business-wise?
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, it's not?
No. A monopoly means you control everything. It means you don't have the ability to basically be able to have proper trade and market value where everybody's there. But when you talk about the same sports agency represent 88% of the actual players that come about, and when they basically make deals after they got guys under certain contracts and make deals with new guys coming up, and you throw out a big number that looks a certain way that's backloaded,
yep,
that kid that's in high school and college can't understand that. And then when you have five guys on one team and one guy gets a good contract with the other four don't, they don't know any better, and they repeat the process. But at the same time, they all doing the same type of thing. You ain't going to never hear about anybody doing these things. I'll give you a perfect example. Mr. Ian Clark is Rashawn Gary's agent. During the process of hiring Rashawn Gary's agent, pre-post game was tasked to do so. We had some specific points of references that we needed to basically check off to make sure we had the right person in place. Mr. Clark has more than most, several. But at the time, Mr. Clark is a high-value, reputable attorney, a lot of different areas, IP attorney, litigation, arbitrator, integral man, also African-American man at the time, never represented anybody outside of a free agent. Asked me if I cared, it didn't matter. The development of the client or where they were going to go was already in place. All that person had to do is not jacked it up in a sense from the beginning. Now, through the years, as I mentioned earlier, the same person has never had a client that was undrafted free agent now has a client who has the highest signing bonus, non-quarterback NFL history. Now, why is that relevant in the way we negotiate? Because I've said on your show and my platform for years, and when it comes to football, your best job and your best way to get what you get is to get a bigger signing bonus or upfront money and then continue to be a professional, take care of your body. That I don't care what the language say. I don't care how they say it. I don't care what they put it out. But now, instead of saying, hey, Mr. Clark, great job. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, aren't Rashawn Gary his own business entity? Why isn't all these quote unquote, you know, African-American led based companies supporting, talking about what we've done and only we've done in the history of this country? Why are they focusing on Sean Stiletto, whatever his name is, the guy that represented Tommy DeVito for 3 weeks? How do you know him and not know me? But you will.
He wanted to be in the forefront too.
Yeah, exactly. For doing what?
Not
doing what? I just read down what we've done. And today, whether we supported, likes, or follows, not, these are all facts. This is history. This is history. So going all the way back to that first conversation, I love Rashawn. Rashawn is a great young man. Still got a long way to go. Going to be a great young man. But he wanted it. He wanted to be a professional. He was committed to his craft. And those type of people, we can help. Those that want to fake it till you make it, or pretend to be somebody you're not, or not call things out for what they are. So I originally mentioned Antonio Brown. But this is the point I'm making again, talking about business and companies and entities. But then you got Tyreek Hill again. Weren't they represented by the same people? Something about Antonio Brown is my idol. Listen, like I said, man, these people didn't become billionaires because they're stupid. They didn't. Any representation don't continue to have more money than you are because they're stupid. Say that again. The billionaires have become a billionaire because they're stupid. And your reputation don't end up having more money than you are because they stupid. So who's stupid? Who lacks professional development? Who lacks the character they need to have? Who lacks the ability to be what they were designed to be in the first place? A professional and a role model. That's the job description. You don't like it? Do something else. But wait. You can't do anything else. So this is what we're talking about now. We know how a lot of these guys' careers are going to end. Tragically. We know those same representatives are going to be in the same spot collecting money off of it, and nobody that's out there today going to actually say nothing about it because they're all part of the system. Mm. But like I said, I did everything I said I was going to do. Now, everything I laid out in this platform today on your podcast, again, I'm in black, for those who don't know. So while we go on it, before it's over, just it, wherever it goes in, the players rep, even pre-post game, will not be around this industry too much longer by choice, because my quality of life is now predicated on being around people who understand my value and our value that we bring to them, despite the fact if they know it or not. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to development, when it comes to job placement, workforce, all the things that we do in this whole process of pre-post game, it's a two-way street. And what you find, athletes, you're going to find out the hard way that most of your relationships are one-way streets, usually because of what you can do now, not because who you are and what you're going to be. And therefore, it's going to leave you with a huge empty space in your mind and your heart. And I pray does it end bad for you. But firsthand experience and knowledge tells me, well, that's why I created pre-post game, that you will. But as I said before, I can no longer allow myself to end up in that same situation that I worked so hard to make sure you guys will not. Go talk.
Hey, hold on, man. You can't be leaving too quick now. Still got some youngsters out here that definitely.
That's what you for, bro. No. Like I said before, man, if you really knew, if I had 10 hours, I couldn't explain all things I've done for all I've done it for. Mm-hmm. I simply stick around what you see. Everything has a player. You pay attention. Everything has a player's rep, a pre-post game standpoint. It ain't all of a sudden United States of America come up a pandemic. You want to pay athletes, but people already forgot about We Are United, Big Ten United. That they disappeared. Nick Saban talking about NIL and what players getting paid. Like, it's the same man that told everybody when the election in 2016 he didn't know there was an election. He was watching film. We supposed to believe that, right?
Yep.
He told us that. And at the same time, when all was said and done, what did this man really do about NIL? How did he support? See, I was around when they were talking about loss of value, LOV policies and insurance and PTD, permanent disability, when Nick Saban at the University of Alabama was a big proponent of not paying the players insurance. Meanwhile, Tua Tagovailoa almost lost his freaking life. Up 35-7. See, as a player, it's my job to know the history of this sport and bring it back to you less suspected. So when Deion says keep receipts, I kept them. I keep them. And I advise on them. So when you go to a school and they allow you to play when you're not insured, and when you buy T-shirts in Colorado, it's assets over liabilities, but your star player, Travis Hunter, who you convinced to go to HBCU, which is the worst business that you could have ever made, to not be insured. But then you want to put out there, he's academic All-American. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, when you said worst decision, like...
Oh, worst.
To go to the HBCU?
Absolutely. You're the number one recruit in the country. You're trying to, your goal is to go to the pros. We're talking business. We ain't talking about feelings. I ain't got no, I don't
know. No, I'm glad we're having discussed because this is a good discussion because a lot of people say, like,
you could
change dynamic and have these great athletes go to these HBCUs versus going to the PWIs.
Ed Reed needs professional development first. He needs anger management classes. Don't talk to me about the HBCUs. I went to one. The fact of the matter, if we start leveling up our professional development, how we conduct business, there's no athlete that has a short term or short time to earn to go somewhere where facilities don't meet the standard and the coaching or lack thereof, you can't get them opportunity where they need to be. There's fields out there that still, when it rains, it's a mud pond. But you want to say, oh, he went here, he went there. That's great. That's not business. That's not business. So if you really want athletes to come there, because again, as we talk to NIL, you haven't heard one African-American person in this business besides me. Besides me. How sad is that in 2024? How sad is that? Not one coach, not nothing. You know why? Because they don't even know what it is. They have nothing to do with it. And so now HBCUs can't even say, yo, come over here. Why? Because we ain't about to put that money into you. No. So I say to the athlete, do what's best for your business. But like I said, Deion Sanders wouldn't be in Colorado if it wasn't for Travis Hunter. So is Deion cutting the hat to check the Travis Hunter? Because he couldn't coach defense in situational football at Jackson State, and he still can't coach in Colorado. Trust the facts, not the process. Numbers don't lie. They were getting torched. Shador's getting, I mean, Silo, whatever his name, was getting torched at Jackson. He's torched at Buffalo. Shador's getting sacked at Jackson. He's getting sacked at Colorado. But we just want to feel good about it. I know how this all going to end for all of them.
Deion is the one African-American coach everybody should support. But, hey, if you got an African-American coach at your college, they ain't Deion.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what I'm saying? Like, our people sometimes just be confused.
I'm not supporting ignorance. 50 years old with your hood on. You don't talk to me about character. Don't talk about me professional. Don't talk about me being respectful when you sitting there with a hood on and glasses inside. You can't. Because you confuse people. Because you try to entertain the barbershop crowd and then you want to also make yourself look great in the corporate route. The players rep is good in every room. The hood room, the corporate room, the negotiating room, the PR room, the media room, the financial advising room, the marketing room, the transition room, everything. Been there, done that. So when I say these things, because you don't see a following behind me, well, just follow the process that you see now that you want to complain about. Like I said before, I take great pride in saying that every athlete in America who happens to be a human being as well can now, this is what you call economic freedom and development. I gave that to them. It wasn't Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. That's the point. People still marching across bridges or want to talk about justice and hashtags. Ben Crump was nowhere to be found when I did what I did with Iowa. He didn't call my phone. I got death threats. This guy ain't this. He ain't that. But then I get what I did with Iowa. You pop up all of a sudden without Northwestern. You still didn't call my phone. You should have asked me about those kids in Northwestern. I'm the one who led that situation. Anybody talk about Northwestern now?
Mm-mm.
Anybody from Maya?
Mm-mm.
That's the point. Everybody want to jump up in front of something like they did it, but the reality is when the truth be told in the United States of America, which I take great pride in, that's why I wanted to do this with you. This ain't about getting likes and followers from me. It's not even about getting ready. It's not even about getting money. Like I said, I did everything I said I was going to do. This is my living eulogy, the players rep. Because when I took the phone calls at pre-post game with all the athletes that I knew, people understood who I was as a person and the advice that I was going to give them, the direction I was going to lend them, those calls ain't going to be answered anymore in short order. And I'm good with that. I ask you, but not Czar's, just to be clear. And respect is respect. How do you want to take it? There's levels to this. And I've sat back and watched a lot of people take the seriousness of what we have accomplished and what's in front of us and dilute and devalue that. As I said again, to push us back towards indentured servitude, essentially in a digital platform and market. I don't care what, just to be clear, I don't care what the Congress say about NIL. I don't care what laws they pass. I don't care what NIL collectives say. I don't care what media talking heads, Mitt Winter, Allen 3, any of them say. If I want to provide service to anybody, athlete, transition, young, old, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it great. And there's nothing you're going to say to us or to the athlete about it. That's the reality of it all. There are people living off of things that are not real. And that's likes and follows.
Yeah.
I'm talking my services across the board, directly and indirectly, have helped generate and develop over $1 billion. The problem was for me, I did it for them. Imagine what I can accomplish myself now if I took the same opportunity and knowledge that I have accumulated and put it towards me. That's what the rest of Robert Tree Green life looked like. The players rep had his run. Yeah. But
dang,
all good things must come to an end. And it's been real. And I'm unapologetic. I'm extremely proud for everything that we've done and what I said. Because the bottom line is, if anybody's going to be the person that's going to lead the next generation on what people are calling equity, because again, you can't have DEI and equity without knowledge. So as I said before, all those companies that's talking all that stuff, they ain't said nothing about this. The NCAA came into existence the same year, 1 month later or before the Leavenworth prison.
Mm.
1 month for the freed slaves, for those who wanted to be educated, and for those who didn't have legal representation. You got trapped in one of those two boxes. And then for a state like Alabama that consistently, with a guy like Tommy Tuberville, who ain't qualified to tie your shoes, becomes a senator of the United States of America, who made a living off of sports trafficking, paying pennies to the dollar for unpaid labor, and then passing laws and bills that goes against the same people he helped make him a millionaire. And you justify that, and then to turn around and watch a guy that retired and Nick Saban in the same state now, if you're so retired, why is he still sitting there going on platforms talking about what he thinks? Who cares what you think?
Yeah, you retired.
You? Exactly. So you have an agenda, which we always knew and I always told everybody. But Ball, did I not say he's going to get up out of here in the next 2 or 3 years?
Yes, you said it emphatically. He's not going to last.
Say when I started this, my job, the play was to take down the NCAA.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I wanted to be known.
So on the record, what was the reason? Because look, you was the one that really opened my eyes to Alabama's program as far as you was like, Ball Hawk, look at their roster. And I'm like, yeah, they got a bunch of five stars. They, you know, they load. He's like, no, look at their ages. And the one that jumped out that everybody always talk about, they only talk about Calvin Ridley's age. But when you really go back and look at his, go ahead.
Said 19 years and 2 months out of high school.
Yeah.
Same age as Amari Cooper. But one is in the league for 3 years before the other one. But the coach is great. Yeah, that.
But when you really look at a lot of the guys.
Ohio State, Chris Ricks, 28 years old when he won a championship in Florida State. How that generated money for their revenue and their economy.
Oh, Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris Ricks is the other one from the other school. But then at the same time, Cardale Jones, who said, we didn't come here to play school. He right. He was 28 years old when he won for Urban Meyer. All your greats. Not who they say they are. What have they done and what have they developed when those kids aren't grown men? And as I said before, it's specifically certain schools that purposely don't mention the kids' ages on their roster. Meanwhile, the NFL knows exactly how old they are. So however you want to take this, let me put this out there right now. Shout out to all the athletes that came back to school for another year, because your agent behind the scene told you that you're going to get drafted higher, along with your coach to make you think that you're going to be drafted in the third or fourth round in a couple of weeks. Trust the facts, not the process. So you basically gave up millions of dollars to generate money for them. So the same way Nick Saban gets mad for you transferring going somewhere else, the same way he went to the school in Washington for the coach who literally took the job in Alabama without saying goodbye by some of the same person that said you shouldn't be doing that. But no, I don't, they shouldn't take care of their business. They only play for a short amount of time in years. But yeah, we should really listen to what you got to say about your thoughts and process and your feelings. Nah, we good.
Yeah, I just don't understand the scholarship.
No, I do. Control.
It's I understand it.
Making your own decision in this business was never designed going back to 1906. That's the simplest way I can say it.
Say that one more time.
Making your own decision was not designed to be in this business since 1906. And that runs its course into your 20s. If you are talented as an entertainer or an athlete, you are developed, trained, and doctored, do what you're told till the wheels fall off. Full stop. And anybody that's been successful in this business, that's exactly what they did until me. I've been successful in it. And I developed them. They developed me. So I understood how to do that. Completely different business model. Not the same levels.
Let me ask you this, because I know somebody's probably talking to the speaker. Is being a professional, quote, doing what you're told, when you say be a professional, what falls into that?
Understanding your surroundings, the rules of engagement, terms and conditions. So, again, when I talk about athletes, I say, and we teach, you're a professional the moment someone's willing to pay to watch you play. Because after that, everything they tell you to do is going to be in their best interest, not yours. That's why they pay to watch. So if you don't understand who you are, where you're trying to go, the rules of engagement on how to get there, to sustain once you're there, is going to be a short ride. But everybody else on that journey is being compensated on what you do. So if, for example, you want to be a first-round draft pick, the highest level, and all of a sudden now this new college football playoff thing, which people still ain't getting. Why 2 years ago when I said before, when it was four games, that at the end of the day, I started the hashtag skipping the bowl games. Say that again too. I'm the reason why they started skipping bowl games. Me, yes, proudly. Because if you understand football in particular, that sport, and the time frame for your audience to know and understand that in that transition, that literally from and now it's like 13, 14, but it's a couple of years ago, 11-game schedule, then go to a quote-unquote bowl game without any rest, then leave, and they got to do an interview process of training that you might get your combine, the pro day, then an all-star game, then after the all-star game, go to the combine, then got to get ready for the draft, then got to go to rookie minicamp, and then OTAs, now go into the league where you got three preseason games, which used to be four, and then potentially, like Rashawn did, have to play 17 to 20 games because you made it to the NFC Championship game back-to-back years. How the NFL works, they drafted the game next year. So go ahead and get hurt playing in that bowl game in year one. And then do the math on how long your career lasts.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about preparing your body, where you're trying to go versus where you at, that's making an informed business decision. That's risk management. That's what gets players who want to be professionals to buy in and understand the realities of what this is. So while Nick Saban talking about, oh, insurance don't pay out, they don't do this, they don't do that. What's worse, not having an insurance policy or being up 35-7 and letting Tua get his hip bone ripped out the socket?
Mm.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.